You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I have said this the last couple of years, that my favorite month of the year here on TPC is March, or March Around the World, and it just dawned upon me that tonight we are having a mini March Around the World, so to speak, although not in the month of March, but in the last hour, we took you to London, and you heard from the former Member of Parliament, the former Member of European Parliament, Nick Griffin, and we talked about any number of subjects facing the mother continent tonight. And in this hour, our second hour, we're taking you up to the Great White North. Welcome back to the show. I'm James Edwards, along with Keith Alexander. And into Canada we go now with our longtime friend and mainstay guest from the very dawn of this program 18 years ago. Paul Fromm has been appearing with us. He is the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression, as you know, but he is much more than that tonight. He is also a candidate running for mayor of Hamilton, Ontario, up in Canada, not too far from Toronto, and he is with us this evening to share news from that campaign trail. Paul, welcome back, and great to have you back.
Well, it's great to be back, James, and these are exciting times.
Indeed, they are.
Interesting times, as the Chinese curse says.
Well, right? You're talking with two people who have run for office, myself for the state legislature in Tennessee, and Keith has run for judge and property tax assessor. So you're running for mayor, and this is interesting. So a lot of Americans are taking interest in your candidacy, Paul. So we want to give you the full hour to break it down and to give it an extensive treatment. So let's start right now. What led to you making the decision to run for office?
Well, a number of things. First of all, I would like to be the catalyst for some opposition to the leftist elite that have too long run this city. It's a steel city. Working class, a lot of ethnic, a lot of European ethnic people here, but it's had a kind of a left labor elite in here for many, many years. So it's not an easy territory. It's not like running in a small town or rural area. So I've got my work cut out for me myself, but there are a lot of good people here. And I'm the lightning rod for some of what I hope are good ideas, things that I think have to be spoken about. I guess what really motivated me was an idea that I had beginning last year, and that was we have been horribly oppressed by our political class, federally, provincially, and municipally during COVID. Our civil liberties were scarfed away, businesses were arbitrarily closed, travel was restricted. Many people were forced to get vaccinated, in many places forced to wear a mask. And your beliefs, your religious beliefs, or your personal health beliefs didn't matter one damn. And the politicians of all stripes, I'm afraid, were only too happy to go along with this stuff. So I thought, as things began to change, the politicians who did this to us personally should be punished. They should be actually all voted out of office. Well, we had a provincial election in June, And without getting too deeply into provincial politics, the results were very poor. The two small freedom parties picked up about 4% of the vote, which was okay, seeing that they got denied almost all publicity. But it certainly wasn't the angry voters' response that I would have liked. And the ruling conservative, but they're not really conservatives, they're kind of like your country club Republicans or Rhino Republicans, they got not only reelected, but reelected with a big majority. Okay, well, I think voters ought to be offered an explicit freedom alternative. And that's one of the planks of my platform, freedom. I was a proud participant in protests in 16 different Canadian cities, freedom protests, end the lockdown, end the force, the mandates. I was a strong supporter of the trucker convoy, the freedom convoy. So I'm making that an explicit issue. You want somebody who, we can't anticipate every problem that's going to come up. Those who won in 2018 could not have anticipated COVID, of course. I want to let the voters know that my leaning, my passion is for freedom. And if proposals are made to curtail their freedoms, I'm going to be against it. I want to call the left out on that. That's my goal, to try to get them to continue to say, as they sometimes do, freedom, D-U-M-B. Why are you so concerned about freedom? So that's one thing. My other policy is in some ways a little bit devious. I've run on this before, and that is to attack the traffic gridlock. Now, the GTA refers to the city of Toronto and those string of cities that go around the north end of Lake Ontario and then sweep along the south end to the American border. That's the GTA, or the Greater Toronto Area. It is almost unnavigable. The traffic is so bad. And there's a reason for that. Mass immigration, decade after decade after decade. We've had over 2.5 million people into the GTA in the last 20 years alone, and more coming. That's the policy of all federal parties, except for the People's Party. It's the policy of all provincial parties in this province. So mass flood of immigration, mostly third world, and the result, and of course, they have failed to keep up the infrastructure. They've failed to keep up the roads, the expressways, the hospitals, and the housing. Well, with the result that we've got horrible, impossible housing prices and rental prices. We've got traffic gridlock and so on. Now, I make that an issue because it's very, people really relate to that. It also lets me get into what I like to call telling truth to power.
That is certainly something that you, Paul Fromm, have always done, telling truth to power, and he will continue to do so tonight as this interview continues. We are talking to a bona fide candidate for mayor of Hamilton, Ontario, Paul Fromm, here on American Talk Radio. We'll continue with him next.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey? Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Well, welcome back, everybody. So we were talking with the former member of European Parliament, Nick Griffin, in the last hour about a lot of things, including the apparent rise of nationalist parties and nationalist candidates in Europe. What did he think about this? What's going on in Italy? Well, I can tell you this. There is one candidate for office that there will be no debate about as to whether or not he is truly with us or is controlled opposition or anything like that. And I can tell you with 100% degree of certainty that Paul Fromm is that guy. So if you live on the outskirts of Toronto and have the opportunity to vote for him as mayor of Hamilton, he's not going to let you down. You don't have to question whether or not he is the real deal. And we are talking to him about that campaign. So we want to bring Keith Alexander into this. But before we went to the break, Paul, you were continuing to lay out the issues and the concerns that led you to throw your hat into the ring and run the gauntlet and face all the slings and arrows. We'll talk about some of those news stories that you have generated in just a moment, but again, the issues that compelled you to do this as a labor of love and as a sacrifice for your people and for your race.
Yeah, I was talking about the issue of traffic gridlock, and there are many aspects to it, and some of them are, you know, very local. The management of the roads is terrible. The upkeep is terrible. And the car-hating city planners are only too happy to block off lanes with cones, but there's no hole there and there's no construction being done. And I make that a big issue because the roads are inadequate to begin with. They're in bad shape to begin with. But then when you block off further lanes for no reason, that just makes things more miserable. So I get a very, very good response on the traffic gridlock issue. And you know, the great thing about it is it cuts in many different directions. There's what I just said, but there's also the bigger picture, and that's it's immigration, stupid. You just can't keep doing this. Now, that really cranks their shaft. They don't like that at all. I will get silly responses like, he's accusing immigrants of causing traffic gridlock or coming here to cause traffic gridlock. Well, that's not true. Nobody emigrates to Canada to cause traffic gridlock. They come here for selfish purposes. So sometimes the refutation is silly, or then the easier refutation, white supremacist. But there was something like a word I caught in your introduction there. You said, there's no debate about this. You got it right, James. There's no debate in Hamilton. I like to say that the city I live in is Havana North. Cuba has the bare trappings of democracy. There are some elections that actually candidates can run for. But here's the what. You can't be a candidate unless you're approved by the Communist Party of Cuba. Okay, so yeah, the voters have a choice, but they don't really have a choice. Well, up here, I was able to get myself nominated. That wasn't a big deal. But there is a local, I'm going to say conspiracy, or let's say understanding, if that's too inflammatory a word, to basically freeze smaller candidates out, and me in particular. We had a tradition in this part of Canada is that community cable TV stations stage all candidate debates. So they'd have a debate for one night for the mayors, one night for their councillors, etc. And that's good. That's a good tradition. When I ran last time, there were 14 of us candidates. We all got in on the debate, and that was fair. This time, only 3 of the 9 candidates were even invited. Now, the rest of us got what I call a booby prize. We got to record a 2-minute little announcement about our candidacy, which is something, but it's not really fair. Debates are good because they draw candidates out. You can sometimes see that beneath the platitudes there isn't much there. They can't stand up for themselves in a debate. And other times, somebody you might not have expected to be very good shines. So that's why debates have long been a tradition. Well, what they've carefully engineered this time is they had all sorts of vague criteria about whether you would qualify, like what the considerations were. Had you run for office before? Well, I don't see that matters, but as a matter of fact, I hadn't run for office before. That, I guess, was the wrong answer. Another thing was your impact on the community, whatever that meant. I suggested that there are 9 candidates. One was a former mayor some years ago. He would have a fair media profile. The other is the former leader of the Socialist Party here in Ontario and a hometown girl. She'd have a high profile, so okay. I would say the second or third best known of the 9 candidates would be yours truly. Google my name. Now, not all the stuff there is very nice, but a lot of it's put up there by those champions of truth in the Southern Poverty Law Conference. They may be in the South. They are certainly fighting their own poverty. they trample the law regularly. I don't know what conference is, but they're the poverty pimps. Anyway, I'd have to say though, I'm relatively well known. Now, so doesn't that put me on in the winning circle? Well, apparently not. So, but that's not the only place. I ran into almost literally one of my opponents. He was waving a sign by the roadside. So I pulled over. I said, "Are you running for mayor?" He said, "Yes." He's an East Indian guy, former head of the taxi union. I said, "Well, I'm the opposition." So we got talking, and I said, "There weren't any debate. We don't have any debates here." Oh, he said, "Yes, there were 2 this week. There was one at an exclusive place called the Hamilton Club. That was the night before, and then there was another at the YMCA." I said, "That's funny. I didn't get an invitation." And so what they're doing is trying to starve some of us, and actually probably starve, and particularly me, for attention. I think they're absolutely scared that what I'd like to consider a populist message will resonate with a lot of people. But of course, it can't resonate if they don't hear about you.
Well, get your Middle East friend to tell you when all these meetings are and show up like a gatecrasher.
Well, I'll tell you this, Paul. There's been no shortage of media covers that I've seen when Googling Paul from Mayor Hamilton, Ontario. But of course, it's all been as you would expect it to be. You are a white man. No. I mean, I was going to say you're a white man.
Don't say something bad.
Right. No, I get it. No, you're a white man who doesn't hate himself. So, yes, you're called all of the things that Keith would mention. But you have generated news, and you have, I saw you on, a screenshot at least, of what appeared to be a televised debate. So what's sort of the media reaction been to your candidacy? Because as you mentioned, you are obviously among the most well-known of the candidates, one way or another.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was talking about and driving at. there's been very little media coverage. And what there is by has been mostly, well, there's been one or two that were straightforward there, but most of it has come from our communist, I mean, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, which has...
That's right.
The CBC. And it's just poisonous. They had a big article that was supposed to be about my candidacy, but it was actually more about the complaints of one of the biggest enemies of freedom in Canada, and that's Bernie Farber. He used to be the CEO of the Canadian Jewish Congress, and he's now the head of the heavily government-funded Canadian Anti-Hate Network. And he's been spinning this idea for the last year or so that when, you know, nationalist candidates run, they're a big danger to everybody because we have access to the voters' list. And, well, we could do terrible things with it. Well, yeah, I do have access to the voters' list for Hamilton, and I have to, you know, give my undertaking that it will be used only for election purposes. Like, I couldn't, for instance, mine it and then sell it to you, James, for, let's say, fundraising purpose.
Right.
I have run in 10 different elections in over 40 years, and I have never been accused of ever misusing that access. But just, this is a great way to kind of throw a shadow over the candidate. So that was 60% of the article. I didn't get a chance to respond very briefly to that. And then the article went on to...
Hold on right there, my friend. Hold on right there. Paul Fromm, you know him. Years of appearances on this radio program, but tonight in his capacity as a mayoral candidate for the city of Hamilton, Ontario. We'll be right back with him.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Maruso reporting. After being encircled by Ukrainian forces, Russia pulled troops out Saturday from an eastern Ukrainian city that it had been using as a frontline hub. It was the latest victory for the Ukrainian counteroffensive that has humiliated and angered the Kremlin. Russia's withdrawal from Lyman complicates its internationally vilified move to annex four regions of Ukraine and paves the way for Ukrainian troops to potentially push further into land that Moscow now illegally claims as its own. The fighting comes at a pivotal moment in Russian President Vladimir Putin's war. President Biden condemned Russia's claimed annexation of captured Ukrainian territory on Friday, responding to Moscow's latest escalation with a range of sanctions and a warning to President Vladimir Putin that the United States would defend every single inch of NATO territory from a potential attack. Hours after Mr. Putin gave a speech asserting Russian control over four eastern Ukrainian regions, Mr. Biden called the action a fraudulent violation of international law that showed contempt for peaceful nations everywhere. The United States is never going to recognize this, and quite frankly, the world is not going to recognize it either, Mr. Biden said. Training is right now underway for the upcoming elections.
Federal officials are offering state and local election officials training to safely de-escalate confrontations with voters that could turn violent ahead of November's midterm election. The move underlines the level of concern ahead of the upcoming elections and comes in response to a steady stream of violent threats and harassment that election officials have faced since the 2020 election. For the USA Radio News Los Angeles Bureau, I'm Ellie Andrews.
This is USA Radio News.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our health care. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly health care costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with health care costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 29 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
For 18 years, as you know, we've been on the air, and for 18 years, Paul Fromm has been appearing on this program, and we're all the better for it. He is the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression, appearing tonight as a candidate for the office of mayor of Hamilton, Ontario, and he is sharing news from the campaign trail up there in the Great White North. Paul, you've been talking a little bit about some of the issues that compelled you to run for this office, talking a little bit about your opponents, talking a little bit about the media that your candidacy has generated. You said it's been a little. I mean, I found several articles, but that may be a little for you because you are a media magnate. But I want to ask you this, if I could, very quickly. I was looking back on some of your previous appearances just this year here on this broadcast and noticed that you appeared three times, which is exceedingly rare, maybe even unprecedented, three times as a guest in the month of February alone. The only time you didn't appear in February was during our all-girls show, the ladies' night show for Valentine's Day that we do every year. But you were on every other program that we hosted in February because, of course, it was in February that we had the much-talked-about Canadian truckers strike. So is that the question is that populist discontent still palpable in Canada? Are you feeling it on the campaign trail at all?
Yes, and I think I was trying to suggest that's something I want to rally and plug into. Yes, an angry, frustrated mass has been awakened by the COVID restrictions and manifested in the Truckers Freedom Convoy in late January and February, which the government, incidentally, and I think we probably discussed this, brought in the equivalent of wartime emergencies and the so-called Emergency Act to smash, to steal people's bank accounts and to allow the police a free hand to smash the protest. But that anger and that coming together of people right across the country hasn't gone away. There are still freedom protests in most major cities every Saturday or Sunday. I was at one this afternoon in downtown Toronto. I'll be at one tomorrow afternoon in Hamilton. But there's another thing that is bubbling along. The government intends to do a little bit like what the Dutch government did in attacking farmers. They want to reduce the usage of reduce the use of nitrogen in fertilizer. You know, which is like reducing the amount of gunpowder in a round of you know, it is ridiculous. This is all part of the freedom of the you know, fighting the non-existent threat of global warming. So they're already making moves in that direction. And I can guarantee that should the government go ahead with that, they're going to see a farmers protest that will make the truckers protest look tiny. And people who join the truckers protest will join in with them because a lot of people have become educated. A lot of people now know that this is a globalist scheme to reduce our freedoms and reduce our standard of living. They get that. 3 years ago, they didn't know about that, or very few knew about that. The other thing that I hope will help me is that while many people will believe anything that's in the Communist Broadcasting, on the Communist Broadcasting Corporation's radio or TV or on their website, many people have become inoculated. They now know what Donald Trump was saying was correct about the media. You lie, you lie, you lie, you lie. They do. And just because it appeared on TV or just because it appears on the CBC website doesn't mean it's the truth. Now, of course, there will still be people who will, you know, dutifully accept it, but a lot will not. So, yes, there's I think there's a real discontent there. And I've been working very closely with the several different freedom groups in Hamilton. There are a number of factions, but I've been working with them all.
Paul, this is Keith Alexander. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You chose to run for the mayor of Hamilton.
Yes.
Now, is there anything about Hamilton that makes you think that would be particularly fertile ground for the kind of populist discontent that you've been describing in, over the last several minutes? Is it a working class place where there are, a lot of people that seem to be they're mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore, as Peter Finstead in Network? What is it about Hamilton that makes you think that that's going to be the place where you can strike fire with this message?
Well, there's a populist streak here in the among the population, I think that is fertile ground, and also there is a very large and awakened group of people who and it's like people who recently got the faith. They're very fervent, and they realize they've been lied to on a whole lot of things, but certainly all the issues around the scandemic, the very nature of COVID, where it came from, how dangerous it was, whether the vaccine was the right thing or whether it's safe. All those issues. 4 years ago, many of these people hadn't even thought of these things. I've met people at these rallies that have voted for all parties in Canada. Well, maybe not the Communist Party, but they're very tiny. But even those parties on the left, like the Greens or the New Democratic Party, which are the socialists, the Liberals, they are on the left, but say in the mushy middle, the Conservatives, who for the most part are not being very conservative, and then the real populist party, the People's Party. I've talked to people who voted for all four or five, five or six of those in previous elections, and they've come over. Now the People's Party is different; they're on side. But many people have really had a political awakening in the past past 3 or 4 years, and I believe that's fertile ground to work with. And the other thing
let me ask you that, I will is be the only. Is I'm there the any only, particular anti immigrant fervor in Hamilton?
Well, there would be some. I'm not basing my campaign overtly on anti immigrant. It's a
pro Canadian.
Being critical of immigration doesn't necessarily mean anti-immigrant the way you and I mean it. It's a start. And I think a lot of people could agree with that. Well, no, we shouldn't be bringing in more and more people when we can't even take care of our own. I mean, I know that's not the highest level of thinking, but that's at least partway there. And it's clear that our leftist elite are really scared of that. If that can ever take off, This is not going to be good for them.
Is there a shortage of jobs in Hamilton, or a shortage of workers for the jobs?
Well, it depends who you ask. Officially, our Canada has 1.2 million people unemployed. We've got about a 5.5% unemployment rate. On the other hand, we're told, and I don't know if it's true, but the business community keeps yelling, we've got 800,000 jobs we can't fill. Well, you would think, if you've got 1.2 million people out of work and 875,000 jobs that can't fill, why don't you just do a match-up and you've solved your problem? They claim it's not that simple. Yes, there's an unemployment problem here, maybe not as bad as it was. There's definitely a housing problem.
Is there an energy problem?
There's an energy problem because our idiot leaders refuse to to use the energy we have. We've got a federal government that's fanatically anti-pipeline, oil and natural gas, even though we are sitting on a absolute
a mother load of it.
Moment. Sorry?
A mother load of it.
Yeah. I mean, but we are in the grip of some real fanatics. Now, one of the local environmental groups sent me a long survey. I'm sure they won't like most of what I had to say. You know, was I for more bicycle lanes and so on? Well, no, I'm not. I'm not for more bicycle lanes taking up traffic lanes that are already overcrowded. What am I going to do to lower the emissions of the city of Hamilton? Well, nothing. Because that's not the problem. The science says that it's not even...
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Solzhenitsyn and the Right, the Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more. There's something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to go to antelopehillpublishing.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Well, we had a good laugh in that last break with our featured guest of the hour, Paul Fromm, mayoral candidate for Hamilton, Ontario. I did not hear the break coming up, so normally Mr. Producer, well, he did it that time, but we just didn't hear it. We were so enthralled with Paul Fromm's appearance that it snuck up on us, and then we were in the commercial with...
all of a sudden, Paul is cut off. He thought we had a new version of the Gong Show going on.
Well, Paul said this happened on stage. They just pulled the plug from him one time. But no, we would never do that to our dear good friend here.
I think that was tried many years ago, but I taught a show by Tammy Wynette in Toronto, and it was very self-deprecating. She said I may not have the best voice, but I certainly have the loudest. And it puts me in mind of the time when there were no public address systems. People like the great William Jennings Bryan could speak to a huge crowd with the power of his voice. I think I could probably continue without a microphone, but not on radio.
touche, my friend. Hey, listen, touche. But let me ask you this. I think we have to get this out here, and then we'll turn it back over to you to take it in any direction you want with one segment remaining. I have to say, though, first, how quickly the 2 hours so far have gone this evening with Nick Griffin and Paul Fromm from London to Canada we go, and we are going to catch our breath in the third hour, but stick around for that. We're going to go in the mailbag, and Keith gave a little tour today of some fans who were in town from Colorado. We'll talk about that. But Paul, I got to ask you this.
I always feel somewhat sorry for Paul because he is such a stalwart for conservative values and populism, and he has to find himself fated to be stuck in the most liberal North Korea place in the world, in Canada, right?
Well, at least Toronto, the Toronto area. All right, but Paul, let me ask you this. We've covered the who, the what, the where, and the why. One thing we haven't covered is the when. When is your election date, and is there a website for your candidacy where we can get more information?
Yes, so the election is October the 24th, Monday, October the 24th. And my website is kind of inspired by my webmaster. It's a kind of clever one. It's www.mayorofhamilton.com. Very simple. M-A-Y-O-R-O-F. Hamilton.com, mayorofhamilton.com, all over the case. I put up a lot of material there. I put up a lot of pictures. I think people would find it interesting and entertaining.
Mayorofhamilton.com, www.mayorofhamilton.com. There you can get more information. This is a spoken medium here on Talk Radio. You might want to have the information in front of you. There's the website. Now you can do it. So what can we – I want to read one more thing. I gotta work this in very quickly. All right, so we've been talking all night tonight about – well, at least in part – about different candidates, different parties, different nations, and what's going on there. I want to quickly read, if we could, an email we got in from Brazil. If you didn't know this, Paul Fromm's election's coming up a little bit earlier than our midterm elections here in the United States, the first Tuesday in November. Paul's coming up a little bit later this month here in October. In Brazil, Bolsonaro is facing a re-election tomorrow. Tomorrow, Sunday, Brazilian listener. Yeah, I learned it too, Paul, from one of our listeners who are tuned in tonight. We have them all across the Anglosphere, across the United States, up in Canada, down in South America as well.
Western Hemisphere.
Sure. Well, all around the world. And one of our Brazilian listeners, a great friend of ours, longtime supporter, Bolsonaro's up for election tomorrow, re-election. I am informed that he is indeed favored to win, but as you know, I'm reading now from this email from our listener in Brazil. He is always under a great amount of pressure and deceit from the mainstream media. We hope to win tomorrow in the first term. The ridiculousness of this campaign was remarkable, with media implying a great amount of popularity on Lula, the former president and former convict, although he couldn't go into public square without being bashed. So we saw that with Biden. Biden got more votes, supposedly, than any candidate in American history, and he couldn't draw flies. He couldn't draw flies to his campaign appearances. Continuing on from this email from Brazil, the desperation of the left is laughable. He writes, they have crossed all bridges too far. That has, as you guys mentioned frequently on the show, changed the minds of too many people to our side, thankfully. Pray for us, brother, that Bolsonaro, he is the guy for now. He is not our guy. He is Brazil's Trump, opening the way for true conservatism and true Christian nationalism. So help us, God. God bless you all. Well, that's the thing, Paul. That's the thing. If you put your finger to the pulse of what's going on throughout the Western nations and beyond, this populist discontent, as we've been talking to you about, as you talked to us so much about back in February when the truckers' freedom rebellion was going on, is this something that you think will pave the way for more men and more candidates like you to not only run but compete and win elected office going forward into the next year and the next and the next? Are we beginning to feel some sort of momentum here?
Yes, I really think so. I was very encouraged to get word from Western Canada that some of the people I cooperate with in British Columbia, their groups are running candidates, and they've got municipal elections in October too. And so it's good to see people stepping forward, because that's the way we've got to get more good people elected, and they can speak. And hopefully, when they speak, our media is forced to listen, unlike when some of us speak. I see good things happening, and I knew there was an election coming up in Brazil, but I didn't know it was tomorrow. So I'll be praying for Bolsonaro.
Hear, hear. Amen.
Well, this is something we have to ask of every person running for elected office now. What do you think the prospects are of electoral fraud by the establishment in Canada, in your election or in Canadian elections generally now?
I hate to say it, but that's really not my field. I have worked in elections, and at least our federal elections, I would say, are relatively hard to fix. There are some ways to cheat for a few votes, yeah. But I was appalled to read some of the stories about what's happened in the United States. I hate to say municipally, I'm not so sure, because in Ontario, I think we use a different system. This is the only system that gives you a chance of fairly honest elections are hand-marked ballots. I don't trust machines. I know they may be faster and all that, but for a few minutes wait, it's well worth it to get an honest result. I don't know what the chances are of a rigged election, frankly. Municipally, I'm not sure. Federally, it would be difficult.
Okay. Now, with about 5 minutes remaining, and this hour, as I mentioned a moment ago, has gone by far too quickly, as it always does with you, Paul. And Paul, I want to say again, as I say, I think often when you're on, how much we appreciate your repeat appearances and the longstanding friendship. But much more than that, well, not much more than that, because I think that matters a lot. I think brotherhood and fellowship is what keeps us going. But at least equally as much, the sacrifice that you have put out for your people, for our people, our shared kinsmen, I really respect and admire you, and I want you to know that, and I want that to be said for anyone listening tonight.
He keeps a flame of freedom burning in a very hostile environment in Canada, and we appreciate you for that.
Well, that's absolutely right, and that comes from the heart, Paul. And with that said, with about 2 or 3 minutes remaining, the final word is yours. This whole hour has been about your candidacy, your campaign, ongoing still, election date later this month for the mayor of Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, not far from Toronto. 2 minutes remaining. It's all yours. Go, Paul.
Well, I'd like to say thanks again, James, for having me on. It's always a pleasure. And, the fellowship and the encouragement is great. I'm really happy to hear, that this race has gained interest abroad. I know I've had messages of support from Australia, from Britain, and of course from the United States. People who'd like to check out my website, it's www.mayorofhamilton.com, M-A-Y-O-R of Hamilton.com. If you want to email me, that's really simple, paul@paulfromm.com, and that's Fromm with two M's. I really appreciate the interest and support. And believe me, when we, if James, if you could even just drop me a line, I'll put that up on the website. It really impresses people. People are really moved by the fact that people, outside the city, would take any interest in what's going on here.
Well, you have an international following, Paul. I think if anybody's not aware of that, we'll do the best we can.
Well, listen, I will say this. As an American talk radio host, every time Paul's on, he generates a response from coast to coast. And I want to say this to what you're saying, Paul. If you go to our Twitter handle, @JamesEdwardsTPC, on Twitter, I have just tweeted Paul Fromm's official campaign yard sign, and it has all of the contact information that he just mentioned. So that's the easiest way. If you're driving in your car, you're listening on the AM dial, maybe you're listening on the internet, you don't have a pen in hand, you want to take down Paul's contact information, go to my Twitter, @JamesEdwardsTPC, the website, the email address. The phone number is all right there. And this is a pretty snazzy looking yard sign, Paul, as a former candidate myself, if I do say so myself.
Well, thank you. I have had a lot of help. The man who designed that is a really good supporter.
Well, as are we. As are we, my friend. And I thank you for another hour of solid commentary and content here on this program. Paul Fromm, folks, for mayor of Hamilton, Ontario.
We hope the next time we talk to you, it will be as the mayor of Hamilton, Ontario.
That's absolutely right. He's got his supporters down here.
You're going to have to call me your honor.
Hey, it would be my honor to call you your honor, and I hope to get the opportunity here very soon. Paul Fromm, everybody, check him out. And all the contact information is on our website and at the Twitter handle. Paul Fromm for mayor of Hamilton. We'll talk to you again soon, Paul, one way or the other. Godspeed, my friend.